Well, we're carrying on in our series in Joshua and looking at a few characters tonight called the daughters of Zelophehad. But before we read about them, let me just ask you a question, and I want you to be honest, if you can. Would you put your hand up if you've ever Googled your own name before? Anybody ever done that? Look, most of you have done that. I'm quite surprised. And what did you find when you found your name on there? Yeah? Were you there? There's not many Ruiz around, I suppose, all your names as a kid. Newspaper articles about you. So I Googled my name this week, just for an illustration. This is what came up with my name. I wasn't anywhere on the top list, I'm afraid. It's quite a common name. There's a country folk singer from Canada who's up there. There's another Josh Mills, who's an award-winning producer and director in Texas. There's an Australian politician back in the past. There's even a prosperity preacher, sadly. That fourth one down there, and interesting looking at his site, very unusual things going on there. There's all sorts of things that we have when you look for your own name, because the names are important. And I started with this just to help us think about what we do with our name. Many of us, we try to make a name for ourselves, which is why we look it up on Google sometimes, just to see who shares my name, have I made it in the world? Because we love to see our name often in lights up at the top of Google's search page. And for some people, all they will have in life is a legacy on a Google page. Maybe this is their memory. Once they are gone, all that remains is what they made of their name in this life, what they achieved. And so in Joshua tonight, we're thinking about names in a sense. And in this list of names that we've been going through, it's all about what remains from their name, their inheritance, what they will leave for the generations to come. And we've been looking at how the land, particularly, has been divided up amongst all the tribes of Israel, and which name, which people group got which part of the land. And so last week, Phil took us through about seven chapters. We sort of briefly scanned through a whole bunch of Joshua, where all the land was allocated to different tribes, different names of people, different families got this part and that part. And Joshua had this joyous job of allocating strips of land to this family, to that family. And every person had an allotment, a share of their inheritance in the land. Now, when it comes to these parts of the Bible, with these lists of cities and people and names, we don't always know what to do with them, do we? Now, that's often hard work, because most of them, we can't pronounce half their names. You haven't heard of them before. We don't know what these places are like. It's a struggle to even know that. But why do you think we struggle with these sort of parts of the Bible? Well, I think part of it, if we're honest, is because, well, these names, well, it's not your name, is it? It's not my name listed here. It's not my family's name, in a sense, as I go back. See, if I was from the tribe of Manasseh, and my heritage was there, and all my great uncles were listed in Joshua, then I might be a bit more interested in what this passage had to say. I might be keen to find out about my inheritance and what part of the land was promised to my family. Because names, I think, are actually very important. Although becomes less and less so on a whole in our individualistic society, in the idea of family names. But in most part of the world, your name, your family, the shame or honor you might bring on your family name, is very significant, very important. And the Bible, it really understands this. Right from the beginning, there's one couple, Adam and Eve, and they are the parents of the whole human race. And so what they inherited, as it were, is passed on through every generation that came. And for them, it was a curse of sin and death. And that was what their family name brought to the world. But later on in the Bible, and tonight we're going to see that there's a new family name that brings a reverse of the curse, a whole opposite to that. And we think about the promises of God and the inheritance that the family name of Jesus brings to each one of us. And so in the midst of all these lists of names and places in Joshua, there are a couple of quite neat stories that we're going to look at. And just pause. And so last week we looked at Caleb and his story. Tonight we're going to look at the daughters of Zelophehad. And they only get two verses in this great list of names. And so if you look at Joshua 17, you'll see them there. And so it says there in verse 3 of Joshua 17, "Now Zelophehad, son of Hepher, son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters. And their names were Mahlah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah." Have you ever heard of these girls before, anybody? Well, hopefully after tonight you will, and you're not going to forget these girls, because they are amazing girls. And it says that they went to Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the leaders, and they said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our relatives." And so Joshua gave them an inheritance, along with the brothers of their father, according to the Lord's command. And that's the end of their story. Just two verses we get in Joshua. They appear earlier in the Bible. We'll look at that in a moment. But these women are very bold, very courageous. They are real women of faith. We just sung about being children of faith. These are five great children of faith. And they know the character of God. They know that this God that we worship is just, that he's good. He doesn't let people get away with wrongdoing. He's a God who's fair, and he's eager to bless all his people generously. This is our God, and these girls know that about their God. So back in Numbers, we're going to see the backstory of them and their history. So a great census had been taking place in Numbers. That's why it's called Numbers, a huge census, and all the people were counted. Although it wasn't quite all the people, because it was the men who were counted. You'll notice that. It's the men who are counted in Numbers, and there are over 600,000 of them. Because when you count a man's name, what you're counting is all the people that are tied up in his family. It's a very important principle. The Bible isn't sexist. It doesn't favor men over women. But the way that people are counted is that a family name represents all those under that family. And so all the men were counted. He represents the family unit. And he's the God-ordained leader of all those who are dependent on him. And there's one particular man who's called Zelophehad. And he had the unusual blessing of only having daughters. Now, he eventually died in the desert. But the way that the systems of the day worked where he was meant that when it came to the census, it looked like his line would end because he had no sons. And therefore, any inheritance that his family were owed or had been blessed by God to have would be gone because there were no sons to carry that on. But he had five daughters, and they knew that it wasn't right that their father's lineage would end, because they know the character of God. And they know that God is a just God, and his promises are for all his people, not just for those who are special or favored. All people are loved by God, whether you are male or female, whether you are rich or poor, no matter who you are. And so they come to Moses and they challenge him on this issue. Now just imagine this scene, right? This is a man's world in a sense, in that men are the ones who are delegated to run the affairs of the community. Not because women were less important, at least not in God's eyes, but the way things were run meant that real men led. They made the decisions for their family. They fought in defense of their loved ones. They were given the task of guiding and shaping the future of the nation as God revealed his plans and will through Moses. Now, we don't see many women involved in these sort of things in the Bible, but these five women do stand up and they speak. So if you flip back to Numbers 27, we'll just see a little bit more of their story. Numbers 27, and then verse 1. We get more of their story there. It says this, halfway through verse 1, the names of the daughters were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. So these names are repeated again, because names are important. They came forward, in verse 2, and they stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now just pause again here. Just picture this scene. You need to see how big a deal this is. There's been a big census. All the family units have been counted. There are 600,000 men that have been counted. And all the central characters of the land have gathered in front of the tabernacle, the great tent of meeting, and they're all there. It's huge. Moses is there, the great priest as well is there, all the family leaders are represented. Anybody who's anybody is in this scene. And in the midst of this very male dominant setting, five women boldly walk up to the very entrance to the tent of meeting, right to where Moses is there, where God's presence is gathered in the midst of his people. And he marches up to Moses, you know, this great leader and prophet of all the people. And this is what these girls say to him. Look at verse 3. They say, "Our father died in the wilderness." He wasn't among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan? Because he had no son. give us property among our father's relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, what Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. He must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them. And then, if you look in your Bibles, it carries on, and a new command has just been enforced for all the people on how inheritance law works. So that from now on, no one's name is forgotten or would ever disappear from the land, because names are important. And so virtually all the women in Numbers and in Joshua, they know that their inheritance is tied up in their family's name of their husband or father. Most had no reason to challenge Moses or Joshua. They had their place in the promised land. They were included in their family heads. The name would continue. But there was this one anomaly where a family name was in danger of dying out. And because God cares deeply about your name, about your inheritance, it is vital that no one misses out on the physical and the spiritual blessings that God brings. And so they appeal to the character of God. They appeal to his love, to his justice, and God assures them that they are to have an inheritance in the land that will not disappear. And they inherit what the fathers of Zelophehad would have gained. And so the family line continues. Now, that's the story in a nutshell. These five women come to Moses and are blessed by having their name carry on. But what does this mean for us today? Where are the lines here? If we think of the people of Israel, how they have enjoyed the blessings of a physical land. How do we consider these things for ourselves today, as God's people here, scattered across the earth, and the small local setting here in Caterham? Obviously, things are different, aren't they? How do we understand God's inheritance for us today? Well, I was at Fraser and Steffi's wedding just last weekend. I don't know if some of you are here as well. And at their wedding, all these men in the party were wearing kilts, because from Fraser's line of the family has got a Scottish heritage. And so they were wearing the colours and all the tartans of their family. It's an important part of their culture and their heritage, as it were. But it's a very interesting wedding, because if you know Fraser and Steffi, Fraser was brought up in Zimbabwe. He's an African. He is married a German girl. And they come together. They tied the knot here in England, but they were wearing the history of Scotland and their family. And so you've got all this heritage all mixed up in this one family. And it's a glimpse of how scattered and diverse, as it were, this world is, with all the nations and the heritages and our ancestors all over the world coming together. But they also have a spiritual heritage, as every Christian does, as we do. And so they are also children of Israel, as you and I are, if we're trusting in Jesus. And so our name, though, is not tied up in which clan or tribe or country we happen to be born into. But as Christians, our inheritance is tied up with the head of our family, the true Israel, which all the tribes and the families of the past, through the Bible, through the remnant after the exile, they all land on one man. And that is the Lord Jesus. And he is now the head of a new family, the true Israel. And all the children of faith now find all their hopes and promises and inheritances in this one man, Jesus. And he is the head of a new Israel, the new people of God. So if you look in Philippians chapter 2, it just tells us there about the name that our Lord Jesus has. It says that God has exalted him to the highest place. This is Jesus. And he's given him a name that is above every name, because names are important. And though Jesus is a son of David, he is of the tribe of Judah, he's a child of Abraham, he has a history and a lineage. His name, though, has been elevated to the highest of all names. And so every Christian's hope and inheritance is now wound up in this new family, in the family of God. And so as we've been looking through the Bible recently in our services, in the mornings we've been looking at 1 Peter, and just recently we've been thinking about the inheritance that God's people have in Jesus. We have an inheritance that will never spoil, will never fade. It is more precious than any earthly treasure, than any gold or land or any family estate you may have. Because as Christians, we are gloriously blessed. As we long for Christ's return, that great promise of the future, the inheritance that has been promised for us all will be finally realized. That's what we believe in by faith, that Jesus will share his crown of glory with us as children. This is the promises of God that he assures each one of us will receive. And so we will receive all the privileges of being sons and daughters of the King of the universe. That is our inheritance, and what a joy that is. And so there's no distinction between man or woman, between young or old, between rich or poor, between married or single. We are all able to share in the inheritance of the Lord Jesus, as God has given him all things and placed all things under his feet. The riches of his estate are ours if we are in Christ. Now, the five women that we've been just thinking about very briefly tonight, they show us that God cares about your name. He cares about your inheritance. These women were in danger of missing out, of their family line being lost in the laws of the day. But as they challenged Moses, a new law was set in place to show us that God cares deeply about each one of us, that our name is precious to him, and he longs that none of our inheritance would ever be lost or disappear from the family. And so the application then for us tonight is to think about what sort of a name, what sort of an inheritance are we working for? Now, will we trust God? Will we let him provide us with a name? So when we Google ourselves and see whether we feature or not, or who else has our name that might have done some great thing, will we instead, rather than working for a name for ourselves, will we trust the only name that really matters, which is the head of our family, the Lord Jesus? Or will we strive to make a name for ourselves? Is our sole ambition, is it to work for an earthly inheritance? And for riches, for glory that we can pass on to our children so that, you know, the name of Mills might continue, or whether Smith or McDonald or whatever your name is that you care about, whether that will continue through the years. What's your priority? God cares about your name. He doesn't want anyone to miss out on the inheritance that is ours. But we need to be clear on which name will actually receive the inheritance. So the daughters of Zelophehad, Mahlah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah, their story is unique. They are in a different situation to us. Their family name was not just another name like yours or mine. They are physically tied into the people of Israel. And so their inheritance, why it's such a big deal, is because their promises are all wound up in the promises of God. Their land, their name, God cares about so deeply. And God's glory is at stake if that name dies out. Because as children of God, as children of faith, they did believe in his promises, in his character, that he's a promise-keeping God. And so they are true daughters of Israel. And their name is now all fulfilled in the true Israel, which is the Lord Jesus. And they are sisters with us in the faith. And they will share the inheritance that every believer has promised, which is not just a strip of land in a part of the world called Palestine or Canaan, but they will share in the inheritance of a new heaven and a new earth that we will all enjoy together, where God is at the center. And we will walk with him and we will see him face to face, that glorious promise. And we'll live under his perfect rule and blessing forever. That's the inheritance that you and I have if we own and belong to the name of Jesus. So we're going to talk about this a bit more around our tables to see what this really means for each one of us. To have an inheritance that will not perish or fade. So there's a few questions here. If you just turn around, we'll spend about 10 minutes or so just talking about these things together. Then we'll have some time to pray for one another. So let's do that now for 10 minutes or so.